B-Pod Studios.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Tough is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're here today to provide an update on Phase 2. With the help of the Reopening Advisory Board, we've mapped out a gradual, phased-in plan to reopen our economy based on the public health data with measures in place to keep fighting the virus. We're asking people to follow new safety protocols, to rethink the way they interact with customers, to stagger work schedules, and to work remotely. This is on top of our request for people to keep their distance, wear face coverings, and do without several forms of gatherings and socializing. We've been successful in bending the curve on COVID-19, and the metrics reflect that progress. We're also expanding the list of outdoor recreation opportunities so that families can enjoy time outside of pools, playgrounds, and spray decks. And I hope Phase 2 will offer some different kinds of outlets for kids.
Now, if I have a sports hub, it is Toucher and Rich, and this is great news for a lot of the businesses, obviously, around Boston. Phase 2, after you had Phase 1.1, 1.2, and 1.3, to be quite honest, I had to check once again what the hell this meant, and most important thing is that all of a sudden we're New Hampshire. We can open up our restaurants outside, which
malls.
Is great.
Malls What's are that? Open. Malls are open.
Malls, it's like 40% capacity that you can...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
More of Toucher and Rich.
Tough is never what you think it is.
On Boston's home for sports.
Some people just love to speak in emoji there, Fred.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're here today to provide an update on Phase 2. With the help of the Reopening Advisory Board, we've mapped out a gradual, phased-in plan to reopen our economy based on the public health data with measures in place to keep fighting the virus. We're asking people to follow new safety protocols, to rethink the way they interact with customers, to stagger work schedules, and to work remotely. This is on top of our request for people to keep their distance, wear face coverings, and do without several forms of gatherings and socializing. We've been successful in bending the curve on COVID-19, and the metrics reflect that progress. We're also expanding the list of outdoor recreation opportunities so that families can enjoy time outside of pools, playgrounds, and spray decks. And I hope Phase 2 will offer some different kinds of outlets for kids.
Now, if I have a sports hub, it is Toucher and Rich, and this is great news for a lot of the businesses, obviously, around Boston. Phase 2, after you had Phase 1.1, 1.2, and 1.3, to be quite honest, I had to check once again what the hell this meant, and most important thing is that all of a sudden we're New Hampshire. We can open up our restaurants outside, which
malls.
Is great.
Malls What's are that? Open. Malls are open.
Malls, it's like 40% capacity that you can go inside the malls. Barber all of these,
shops,
by the way,
right? Barbershops.
I don't. Yep. Yeah. I think that. Like, if you do, you have to get appointments for that? I don't know.
I do. The place that I go, so yes.
So, and then there's like some daycares are able to open, playgrounds, and there's other things like that. And by the way, I was talking about that Vegas video that came out, and where just everyone's packed in this casino with no masks, and everyone's all on top of each other, and I was just like, I wish I could just turn my brain off like those people did and just be that dumb for a moment. And someone said, hey, Rich, would you make the same clueless and non-caring characterization of the people protesting in mass gatherings without masks, shouting and spitting all over each other? Are they cluelessly happy and irresponsible too? Well, first of all, Mr. Really Though, 4545 on Twitter, the majority of the people that I've seen at the peaceful protests have been wearing masks. I don't know what you've been watching. The majority of them are indeed wearing masks, which is kind of the key to all of this. And second of all, the reason the people in Vegas are gathering is to get their party on. The reason the protesters are gathering is to stop the murder of black people. I would say the risk reward is a little more important when it comes to the protests outside of Herpes Central Z over there in Vegas. But then again, maybe that's just me thinking that. But this is going to be tough for a lot of the businesses, and I feel for the owners and all the things they got to go through, and that's why if you are a patron, you just got to be cool with a lot of these places. I mean, they have been through hard times. Like, don't, you know, there's going to be, your service is going to be a little slower. There's going to be things that aren't exactly perfect. The menus are going to be limited. It might start raining. And everyone's going to be going through this. So if you're somebody who's opening up a business and you've seen this list of restrictions, I would just like to hear from you because I want people to be able to empathize. And when this all starts, at what you had to go through to get them their turkey sandwich with a pickle and a side order of fries. Because this is something that I think that many people from the outside don't realize what you're going through. Somebody said, I went to lunch in New Hampshire on Saturday and it rained. Sat there and took it. The waitress was a champ. The tip went up every minute that it rained. Good. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it. That's how you got to do it. All right, let's go to Kevin on line one. Kevin, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
Good, how you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, so I own a few gyms locally in the area. Actually, your own Mike Lockhart goes to one of them. And
Hang on. Is Mike a grunter? Does he grunt when he's in there?
He's actually not a bad guy. He's actually a pretty good guy. Actually, when I first met him, I didn't really like him, but now I do.
What was it about him that you didn't like?
No. He's just, you know, arrogant. Thought he was a man. He's really not. You know, but... And especially when he comes to our places, he gets put in his place and he realizes, oh, man, I'm kicking bad boys. I'm just, you know, I'm not the same guy I was when I was in my 20s.
Who is? I ask you.
I got to be honest. That's not the Mike Lockhart that I see.
I know. Honest to God, that's like 180 degrees in the opposite direction.
But I got to admit, that's kind of funny if he turns heel when he leaves the studio.
Yeah, but who the hell wants to talk to anybody at the way? I'm with Mike. Like, dude, when I go there, don't talk to me. I don't want. You need my expression? No. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, Joe's this cool guy, but at the weight room, it's
Just imagine if that was true, though, the heel turn. All the Mike Lockhart we see is not the Mike Lockhart in real life.
I'm no gym rat, but I swear to you, when I go to a weight room, the less people I talk to, the better.
Yeah.
Like, I put in headphones, and I do my thing on my own. Yeah. I don't do any workouts that need somebody to spot me. Like, I use the machines where they all do it themselves. Like, I don't want anyone to talk to me. Because to be quite honest, I'm embarrassing myself already, and I don't need somebody else is looking and observing me while I'm embarrassing myself. But please, Kevin, I'm sorry. Continue. We got sidetracked.
Yeah, real quick, the Lockhart is a good guy. Anyways, but so we, so we're on phase three. So essentially what we would be, we'd be operational by like almost June 29th, almost end of July, this middle of July. So that put us at almost 5 months of being like being closed, like forced to be closed during the time period. So the big thing that's going to happen is it's really not about what's happening now. What's going to happen is with businesses is what's going to happen in like the fall and the fall time, the winter time when – because if we don't get new business, say we have a new business in July, that'd be almost a half year with no new business. And if you come back to the same expenses, same rent, because everything does, that's where you're going to see more of the issues. It's not about now. People got to start thinking about, like, what's going to happen, like, in the fall and the winter as when things do get into the new normal, into more normalcy.
Yeah.
So people really have to start preparing for, like, you know, don't rely on your unemployment, your extra $600 and all that stuff. If that ends in July, like, people should be preparing for, you know, the fall and the winter time. That's where you're going to see the big drop-off because at the end of the day, building owners, like the buildings that we own, people are going to still want their rent because they need to pay the bills too, right? So that's going to be the biggest problem for most businesses.
Kevin, plug your place, not only because, you know, I want people to patronize you, but because I want people to be able to see Mike Lockhart and what a a-hole he is to you when you come up and try to talk to him. What's the name of your place?
So Vagabond Way Fitness. It's located in Easton, Massachusetts, right up next to 17A, 17A, right, 17B up.
Well, good luck to you, man. Hopefully everything works out. I know it's going to be tough. Let's go to Bill. Bill is reopening his restaurant today. Mm. I'm looking at this list of things that each of these restaurants got to go through.
Oh.
And, I mean, it's...
It's outside. It's 6 feet apart. The tables.
It's like the behind the scenes and the preparation everything, too. All right, Bill. So you're opening your pizza place today?
Yes, we are. I'll tell you what. For the past 3 months, we've been busy as, I mean, the three of us have been busy as hell trying to, we basically gutted the restaurant, cleaned the kitchen. We built a patio deck. We built all this stuff and everything's going on. we came in today and the drain got clogged and the kitchen was flooded. We're going to need Roto-Rooter to come out here or something like that. So it's just like, it's just perfect. It's just like, let's get going. You know what I mean? Right.
So, okay, when you're opening up, did you already have a patio, or is this something that you had to invent for the opening today?
Actually, we have a space outside the restaurant, but the thing is, it's the entranceway to the movie theater, and we had to build, like, a fence and separation and put chairs out and do all the spacing, and we really went overboard with it and put a lot of plants up and things like that, music, and we're going to have a TV out there, and it's going to be pretty cool. So we're pretty excited here.
So for somebody who is coming to your place today and doesn't realize all the crap that you guys have to go through and the extra precautions that you have to make with the servers wearing the masks and handling of their stuff, is there anything you can tell them to kind of have them chill the F out if they, for some reason, don't get the perfect service that they demand when they show up?
We're lucky here that we have a pretty good regular crew. I mean, a regular following, you know, we have our regulars, and I think we're going to see a lot of them today, and a lot of them are very understanding of that. But I would reiterate what you said earlier, which is eat and move fast. Don't think that you can take a table and get a couple of beers and a sandwich and you're there for 2 hours, because it's just like come on, get moving.
Yeah, right. I mean, they got to turn these tables pretty quick.
Exactly.
And how much money have you had to put into this to get your place prepared? Because that's the other thing too, is there's other expenses. Yeah. Like, what? How much cash have you had to put into your business in order to just be able to follow these regulations the way the government wants them?
Well, building the patio deck, of course, was the big expense. Doing all that, putting up the wall, putting up the fence, and all the stuff that incurred. And there's other things, of course. Basically, we're going to be running it with one cook, one server, and myself, and we're going to be running around and just see how it goes for the first day. We're not going to have a lot of our staff back yet because we just don't know. Everything's kind of a question mark. You know, I mean, I think the mall is open because we're at the Hampshire Mall in Hadley. So we think the mall is open, so there'll be traffic, but we don't really know how that works, because this isn't really a retail mall. It's more of a destination mall. The roller skating won't be open. Pins won't be open. The movie theater won't be open. So there's a lot of things going on. So we're kind of on a feel by way basis right now.
All right, man. Well, I'll let you plug your business too, because obviously the last couple months have sucked for you. What's the name of it?
Yeah, it's Arizona Pizza Company at the Hampshire Mall in the back by the movie entrance. You can't miss it. Come on down to Hadley. It's beautiful out here in the valley.
All right, man. Appreciate it, Bill. Thanks a bunch. It's funny because out of all the things that have been going on, my very religious mother, she has had a massive problem because a lot of the churches have opened back up. And so when she goes up, if you're Catholic, you get communion, and the way you can get communion two different ways. Like, one way is they either put it in your hand, and they put it on your left hand, you pick it up with your right, you put it in your mouth, or you can be somebody who chooses to have it placed in your mouth. So the way that churches are doing it now, and like this past week, is that the priest has a mask on, and you go up and you're supposed to wear a mask as well. And then he places the communion in your hand. You step to the side to this marker that they have that is, socially distant, like 6 feet away. You lower your mask and you place it in your mouth. Well, there is a group of extremely, devout's not the word, just traditional Catholics that my mom runs in circles with, that are pissed that they can't get it directly into their mouth. And I've had to talk to my mom before. I'm like, hey, mom, it's the same communion, right? I mean, it's like you don't get points off from God if it just goes in your mouth from your hand, or one in your mouth, do you?
Well, I mean, like, so what if they're upset? I mean, it's not like the priest is going to change it. So what is their recourse for being upset? Exactly.
Well, I don't know.
Do they protest outside? I mean, what happens?
They just type on Facebook and they're very angry.
Okay.
Facebook is, there's a lot of anger.
I was just going to say, picketers outside the church.
That's the thing they've done. But I've seen so much anger coming from just like that. And it's like, I mean, even when it comes to, it's like restaurants, and moments like even like that, where, things are different. Safety is key. But everyone just kind of needs to just step back and take a breath and realize that it's going to take a little while to get back to where you were. But damn it, we're trying. You know, we're trying to get there and give everyone a little bit of the benefit of the doubt while you're at it. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll be right back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
There's a disagreement here in studio.
How unusual.
I'll tell you what, it's what makes us different that makes us great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Andrew Brady is the Pied Piper for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And look, this isn't to disparage what Jameis Winston did there, but Brady is drawing all kinds of attention from his teammates for the energy that he is bringing, not only in these workouts that he has organized, but also I was told he is lighting up the Zoom meetings. Intelligent questions, personality, engaging with teammates. This is exactly what they need. I was also told by another player, look, he's not waiting. He is aggressive. He is going to be, he is becoming our leader. It's happening right now, even though we are not together on a regular basis as a team in person. He has been able to do that, and that is quite impressive. This is something I think all the Buccaneers are looking forward to when they finally get together.
None of five of Sports Up. It's Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray, does that piss you off?
No. I actually think Tom Brady is going to be really good this year. The Bucs are going to be really good, and I'm still torn if I have the Saints or them. Right now I have the Saints winning that division, but I think Brady's going to be very good this year.
Hang on. You last week were saying that on Rob Gronkowski, you were out on Rob Gronkowski.
Yeah, as an actor or anything, or in wrestling, yeah.
Okay, but
Gronk's not the only weapon Brady has down there. Brady has two Pro Bowl wide receivers to throw to.
I'm just wondering how, because I've talked about this with you about how, you know, everybody seemed to accept all of the quirkiness of Rob Gronkowski while he was a Patriot. People also seemed to accept all of the douchiness, I guess you could say, of Tom Brady when he was here. You know, you could argue that some of the things that he said and did and like the whole thing with his TB12 vitamins that to keep you your immunity up and all that stuff, like those things were tolerated while they were a Patriot. And I've seen these cracks, like now all of a sudden that they're no longer here, people are turning on them because of the things that they like praised them for, defended them before while they were here. Now with Tom Brady, you still love the guy, but Rob Gronkowski, it's his personality that you hate.
No, I don't hate Rob Gronkowski. I think he failed outside of football. That's my quote.
That was the argument.
Okay.
Rich. That was the argument.
And once again, I said, how do you define failure? Because it seems like all of his jobs he wasn't fired from, he left. And he had a million gigs during his time that he was gone.
What was he good at, though?
Well, obviously he was good enough to be somebody who was on Fox and was a NFL commentator. And they even issued a statement when he said he was going back to the NFL saying that there is a seat reserved for him when he comes back. They liked him that much.
We'll see.
Ho-hum. Yeah.
I don't think he's good at anything
besides football.
I completely agree with Murray. He's done all of these things once.
Okay, and let's
see if he gets asked back to do it again.
Well, as I said, the Fox released a statement said that he was welcome back.
Well, it's easy to say that when he's on his way. Let's see what the landscape looks like and whether or not he actually gets a regular gig in 2 years.
You even said that the TV show that he's on Game On, which is basically just an assault on your senses, did well.
4.5 million viewers. Let's see if 4.5 million show up the next time it's on.
Well, it's already been on twice, so why don't you check week two? Let's see what that is. Last time you said it was tied with Tag, Ultimate Tag.
Hey, Rich, will there be a Rob Gronkowski Wet and Wild Super Bowl party this year as well?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they can't because he's playing.
No, I mean, not necessarily. He might not be. Tampa Bay doesn't make it there. He's free.
Right. Well, I mean, I know, but don't they have to plan those things like months in advance? I think he announced this during the regular season this past year. I mean, he's still a player. Now, whether there is some music festival and that if they get knocked out early, but they're not going to. They're going to do fine.
Here's my beef, okay? Everyone that's tried to leave whatever they've done to try WWE, they've failed. The only one who's done it is Brock Lesnar. The only one. And listen, the Conor McGregor thing, I'd like to get into that later on here today, but if that comes up, McGregor probably will get over, but I think he'll fail at that too, right? Everyone will love him, but I don't know. That's my thing is that, you know, Ronda Rousey, big failure. I know she was the champion, but she sucked. She couldn't talk. It wasn't good. Rob Gronkowski didn't want to jump off a scaffold, and a 70-year-old owner had to do it. You know what I mean? Like
that to me is the funniest part of all this, is that when he tried wrestling, everyone thought that he was going to fit in so perfectly, but I guess everyone hated Rob Gronkowski. But admit there's probably a bitterness, too, to these people who didn't, quote-unquote, pay their dues coming into wrestling and getting a huge paycheck. I got to think that was the Ronda Rousey, the way that people thought of her. Like, you're just going to come in here and you're just gonna show up and everyone's gonna think that you're the best, and then you're not willing to work as much as the rest of us. I mean, I'm sure there's a bitterness there as well, but the fact that Gronk was scared to do that stupid jump that we saw him do, which was really one of the lamest ways to win a title anyway, to me is probably the funniest part about all that. And how nobody gave, like, the way that he like ended up losing his title was one of the dumbest, most phoned in. They didn't even like give it like more than 5 minutes worth of television time.
And I get people chirping at me, "Oh, Joe, wrestling isn't good. It's not even them that like people write the scripts for them." Then make Gronk the man. Make him like the most dominant guy in the world, and he can't lose, and like don't have him doing a TikTok video in his backyard getting rolled up by a landscaper. Like you could write something better than that. You can be better than that. If you think wrestling sucks or any of that stuff, write better then. Maybe it's the character. I don't know. Maybe it's not the characters. It's the writing. But anyways, make Gronk Gronk. Don't make him like Bonk. All right? That's what they made him. They made him Bonk.
That's what he said. How many times was Gronk on an NFL broadcast? 5 times? Maybe. That's not a broadcaster. That's a guest. That's a fair point.
Is that the Simpsons hats go on your head?
That's one of the hardest I've laughed at the Simpsons. When they had Rob Gronkowski on there, and he was Bonk.
Yes.
Hats go on your head.
Yeah. And they just start going, rah, 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 like not making any sense. Oh, that was so great.
I don't know. Has week 2 of Game On happened yet? I don't think it has.
Yes, it has. I watched it. I'm the only one who's watching it. Yeah. They went and they...
Who are the celebrity kickers this time?
There's no celebrity kickers. The first time, listen, they blew their entire budget with Mark McGrath, Macy Gray, and Coolio.
I see.
No, they actually had 2 decent size co-guests or whatever in week 2. You had Ronda Rousey, Joe's favorite person. And then you had, Demi Lovato, I think was the other one.
Hey, now. All right.
So that's a decent size person, okay. I would think.
And listen, here's the deal. Gronk could come back to football this year and still fail. Like, that can still happen. I don't think he plays 16 games. I'd bet on that. But I do.
What's the over-under on games he plays?
I'll look it up.
I agree with that.
Need him for 16 games.
No, I understand. I'm just curious. What's the over-under on number of games?
I'll say 11 and a half, probably.
Okay.
I was about to say 12. But you know what? So here's how I see it starting. Him playing the first like 6 games of the season, sitting out the middle chunk of it, and then coming back and playing.
He's gonna play more than 11 and a half games simply because he's not the focus. He's gonna not take nearly as much punishment as he would in a Patriots offense. There's so many other weapons that Brady can throw the football to and
Brady
get involved.
Brady is not going to be able to help himself. It's going to be that escape hatch with a brand new offense. He's the only guy he's 100% comfortable with. It's going to be, I don't care how good those weapons are, the fact that he's down there and isn't familiar with each one of them, Gronk is going to get fed more than you think he is. And I know that, they got 3 tight ends out there now too. They're going to be able to do some ridiculous stuff on the field. I think they're going to be one of the most fun offenses to watch. But don't think for a second that he's going to be underused. Gronk, especially in the first several weeks, I guarantee you is going to be a major factor. Yes. He's the trapdoor. He's
if
the guy
was
that
me,
you're
I wouldn't
trouble
play,
you throw it right to him.
I wouldn't play him until you get into the red zone. You know, and that's, listen, that was a huge issue for Brady last year. Mm-hmm. People want to bring up the Chad O'Shea didn't work out in Miami, yet they were 3rd in red zone touchdown conversions in all of football last year. The Miami Dolphins and Chad O'Shea. The Patriots were 21st. So, like, Brady in the red zone, that was an issue. But with Mike Evans and Gronk, I think that, like, right there, those are layups. Like, Brady should improve automatically in the red zone with those two players. But, again, I don't know how much of an impact Rob Gronkowski will make, but I think he will definitely be a threat in the red zone, no doubt.
Somebody said Rob Gronkowski is a TV personality. He's a perfect example of something that just because it can be done doesn't mean it should be. I'm not saying he was good when he did his stuff. I'm just saying that to say that he wasn't successful or that he was a failure is just not true. He kept getting gigs. You're a failure if you try something and you know what's a failure? Joe Montana trying to be a commentator. That's a failure. That's someone who went out there like, oh my God, this guy's bad. You know what? Rex Ryan as a Monday Night Football color guy. That was awful when they put him in there for that one when they did the double games at the beginning of the season. Like, that was a failure.
Yeah, but he found a nice niche working ESPN as a commentator.
Great.
Gronk keeps getting these jobs because he has a personality that shines through, that's loud, that people will pay attention to.
No. Yeah, and because guys like Rich pick it up and play it on the radio, and that's why they're doing it.
That's part of it.
That's exactly it.
Right, and the other part of it is, everybody from the outside looks at that personality and says, okay, it didn't work here, but I can use it in another way. That's why the WWE hired him. That's why Fox hired him. Mm-hmm. But he was not – that personality only translates for maybe, what, a week or two. And then you're like, you know what? It's not working nearly as well as we thought.
You're both just bitter that he's not a Patriot anymore.
Come on. Okay. Hey, listen, if Brady was here, Gronk's not back either. If Brady is a Patriot, Gronk's not coming back here. He didn't want to be a part of it.
That's not Brady's. It's not Brady's fault, though.
Brady wasn't wanted. Brady how many times does he need to be right again?
Wow, Wallach's loving me today.
How many times does he need to be right for you to admit that you're wrong?
He's just intimidated by you. He got kind of big.
I did get Big Johnson today, though. I'm sitting in a different chair, and I got Johnson's. But Rich, I will say this, though. Like, you know, and I don't mean this negatively to you. It's just that when Gronk does something, you're like, oh, my God, I got to get this. I got to play this on the air because it's
not
interesting,
always.
Right?
But you do
want to hear if it, you want to hear the failure. You want to hear the failure. Admit that.
All right, you want to hear
how dummy sounds.
Yeah, that's part of it. Sure. Yeah. I don't go to watch him on the NFL on Fox to get like really like whoa, what's he going to say that's going to shake things up? No, I want to hear him stumble and forget to word the use thee in some of his promos on WWE. But it makes him likable. Like, and you know what, to be quite honest, all of these talk desks, like the NFL on Fox, they're all boring. Like, I mean, there aren't many great people on there. They're like, oh man, I can't wait to hear what this guy says. Just throwing in some sort of, I don't know. As I said, it's like peeing on the anthill. You throw in a little bit of chaos, and it's amazing how weak these shows are, that somebody even like Gronk, who's just a little different, gets you at least a little excited. Wow, someone's there that's not going to just completely, like who might possibly say something off script that gets
you in
trouble.
And I don't know if there's another guy in the league who's like that, so you're probably right about that.
Yeah, and he's a success, and you hate him because he's not
It's not a success. It's in your face. It's not a success. Just because it's in your face doesn't mean it's good. The Kardashians are in my face. It doesn't mean that show's good.
But they're a success.
That's the wrong
I should have used that comparison.
That's the wrong example. Because
Kylie Jenner is a billionaire at whatever age.
I was with you. No, I'm out.
I bet you from all of the gigs that he has received since he stopped doing football, and I'm talking from being an endorser for his CBD product, from all of the TV shows he's done, from the big New Year's Eve, from the NFL on Fox, I bet you he has made as much money as he did if he would have played that year.
Rich, that's not the point.
That's a success.
But that's not the point. The point is eventually that personality, people are going to run out of ways to try and use it. And because he's done all these things once and never gone back to any of them, eventually his job opportunities are going to dry up. He might have done well this year. You're right. He might have made $10 million. But right. I think the earning potential will go down as time goes on.
If it makes you feel any better, I promise myself I'm only going to watch one more episode of Game On because apparently Wednesday night is the one where James Corden co-hosts. And I just know that it might make certain people's heads explode.
I know. It'd be worth it for Thursday morning. I agree.
So to be quite honest, I mean, that show is exhausting. It is like, dude, and I sit and I watch Holy Moly with my kid, which, by the way, is great.
Oh, God, it's perfect.
It's actually like I'll watch shows where people just get hit in the face and knocked in water over and over again.
Yeah, it's Wipeout and miniature golf. It's fantastic. My kids love it.
I don't mind that show. But Game On is just, dude, it's next level obnoxious. So I'm only going to watch one more episode of it, and that's for show purposes only. Mm-hmm. And then I promise I'll be off the Gronk train until, of course, things start back up with the NFL. And then, of course, you'll be rooting against him because you're bitter. All right, 617-779-0985. Joe Murray with the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
In a neutral situation, the way the season is about to be shotgun start again, I'm taking the Celtics in the East.
Ooh.
Mm. That's not I'm taking the Celtics in the East because one of the great things about the Bucks is, of course, their game does travel. But their home court was a huge advantage for them, mm-hmm. a major advantage. The Celtics and the Bucks players are in the gym. I'm going to pick Giannis, but the next like four or five picks going to be Celtics. So that's my choice to come out of the East.
Five of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich in the Town Fair Tire Studio, and that is Jalen Rose, a very smart man. It could happen. Out of all the years, this like weirdness could happen.
At Michigan education.
I've always liked Jalen Rose. Always thought he was a smart guy. But I mean, if anything, that just hearing that gets you excited. That there's just possibilities, and I don't think that any of us. I don't know. Maybe Joe. I haven't gotten Joe's opinion on this, but you know, I still believe that. The Bucks are just a wagon, and that Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to become Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's going to take a couple of games for him to become that, but it doesn't matter.
Rich, to throw something at you, there was a heated debate on the DraftKings over-under show at 7 a.m. on Saturday this past week.
Very heated, from what I understand.
Sports debate?
An actual sports debate.
Well,
things got heated on Saturday.
Between myself and Dan Lifshatz. And I made the claim that I think the Bucks have the best bench, a better bench than the Celtics. That was I was told I don't watch basketball if I think that. And I don't know, when the last time I watched the Celtics play basketball, they weren't good as a bench. Remember Brad Wanamaker taking shots against Utah?
Joe. Yes. Neither have good benches.
No, like, no. The Bucks have a decent bench. They do have a good bench.
They have a decent bench.
The best bench in the NBA is the Lakers. Believe it or not.
Yeah.
The Lakers are loaded.
I'm trying to remember who
are
we talking about.
The Bucks have George Hill, Dante DiVincenzo, Pat Connaughton, Marvin Williams, Robin Lopez, even Ersan Ilyasova, who's been with 18 different teams in the last 5 years, is a solid. Yeah. Bench player. And don't forget Kyle Korver.
Yeah, and I think Marcus Smart's the best out of all of them, okay? And then what? Enes Kanter is your next, and Brad Wanamaker?
Well, you have a drop. Well, I like Wanamaker. I'm the king of the Wanamaker.
Yeah, remember that three that he had to take at the end of the game against Utah?
I can't handle Wanamaker discussion. I can't.
No. You're right. I mean, the Celtics have a lot to worry about there. And it's not a, you know, Grant Williams has not. He's not become the guy that I know we want him to be. It's still early. It's not fair to expect him to be. Obviously, Enes Kanter is not someone that you really want on the court during a playoff game.
Good offensive player.
No, you want him on the court. He is your best rebounder per minute. Yeah. And he's a guy that is specifically good in certain spots. Don't forget, he started for Portland last year, and they did some damage in the playoffs.
But you also don't want to have to rely on him.
No, but I mean, you want Daniel Theis. Yeah. He's the guy. But yes. Robert Williams does specifically one thing well, good defensive player, horrible at the offensive end. Enes Kanter, great rebounder, can help you somewhat offensively, but defensively, he's a train wreck. So, I mean, you need these players to do certain things for you you have other teams that have well-rounded players that come off the bench. And for the Lakers, you know, what, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Kuzma, Markieff Morris, Dwight Howard, Deion Waiters, even Rondo. I mean, you got guys that are more fully formed that can contribute on both ends of the floor.
But who does this benefit? Who does this long period benefit when it comes to starting off with basketball that matters almost immediately? And I would argue that it benefits young legs.
Yep.
And, you know, not having to, you know, have, I mean, you've seen it before, obviously resting stars before the playoffs, things like this is basically what this has been. Now, it also could mean that they're off their game. I understand all of that. But if any time, if there's any year, because put it this way, if the season would just ended like normally, I would say there's no way this. I said the Celtics are going to be fun to watch, but I mean they're going to get killed by the Bucks. People forget how well the Bucks were playing this season. I mean they were impossible. That team, there were times where they just looked like superhuman, where it wasn't fair, it was cheat code stuff. So if you take a look now with the time off, I don't know what Milwaukee's going to be, but I do know that the Celtics were getting better, and I know that they have youth on their side. Kemba Walker's a gigantic question mark. We
so
don't know
is Gordon Hayward, by the
be.
Way. A lot and of
Gordon
people
Hayward
forget
is too.
Hayward was dealing with an injury when the season stopped as well. So, I mean, these are the – coaching matters. Coaching really matters. How the players kept in shape during the offseason, during the 3 months off – that matters, and youth matters, I will agree, up to a point. It's not just one thing. It's a combination of a lot of things.
Well, that's why, and we talked about this when we were talking with the Bankroll Boys last week, Joe. That is why this, to me, just seems like it's going to be a situation where someone's going to come out of nowhere and do really well right off the bat. It's going to be a strange case of, wow, what is the six seed doing tearing things up? Who would have expected this? If there's any year for things to get wacky, you agree, Joe, that this would be it.
I do. I'm trying to make a case for Philadelphia. I think their bench stinks. I just can't get past their bench whatsoever. The team, though, that I keep bringing up is Miami. You know, I look what they have with, you know, this kid Nunn's come out of nowhere. Duncan Robinson, Jimmy Butler, obviously, you've seen him in the playoffs. Then off the bench, they got Goran Dragic. Like, Dragic, Tyler Herro's been very good. Jay Crowder is now back on that team. Kelly Olynyk. So, like,
clinic.
I mean, listen, you guys mentioned he could be roided up. That could be something different for them.
That's another thing is that we learned from all of the discussions that they had over the weekend that even though they're going to be testing for the coronavirus daily, you know, every single day they're going to be testing these people. The one thing that they said they're not testing for is blood tests for stuff such as performance enhancers. So I'm telling you, do you remember that SNL skit with Phil Hartman was the All Drug Olympics where he showed up and he had those giant arms and he went to go deadlift and his arms just ripped off and blood went everywhere? That's what you're going to be seeing. You're going to see like the all drug playoffs because I mean, right now it seems like if you started juicing today, they're not going to test you by the time the playoffs start. So, I mean, everyone's going to show up. As they say, Olynyk's just going to have, he's going to look like, you know, massive guns. All of a sudden he's going to have LeBron James's body, but still the legs of a Clydesdale as he clomps up and down.
But for me though, I think the Lakers are going to be the hardest team to beat. But the Clippers, to me, you mentioned youth and to me in the NBA playoffs, it's depth, it's defense, and it's star players. The Lakers and the Clippers have both of that. Milwaukee, I think, can be beat, but I don't think anyone's better than Giannis or can even cover Giannis in the Eastern Conference.
All right, well, the NBA at least has got their stuff together, whereas other leagues. Can't get out of their own way. We'll get to the foolishness that baseball has been suffering through. And we may not even have baseball. We'll get to that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's a lot of fun, right? You're having fun.
Dutcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
His trainer has told me that he's taken anabolic steroids, Novocaine, NyQuil, Darvon, and some sort of fish paralyzer. Also, I believe he's had several cocktails within the last hour or so. All of this, of course, is perfectly legal at the All Drug Olympics. In fact, it's encouraged. Akhmanov is getting set now. He's going for a clean and jerk of over 1,500 pounds, which would triple the existing world record. Here he goes. Oh, he's pulled his arms off. He's pulled his arms off. That's got to be disappointing to the big Russian.
Maybe the NBA knows exactly what they're doing. They're like, you know what? These guys, let's make it exciting. It's going to be messy as hell when they get out there anyway. No one's going to have practice, so let's just let them take their steroids. Let's let them get out there and just get as juiced as possible and let them run wild. We're worried about other things right now. Our blood tests are testing other things. We're giving them pricks in the finger and pricks all over the body enough. Maybe we just let them take roids, because that's what the plan seems to be, according to some of the reports that were coming out Friday of the Players Association with the league and how they're all planning to do all of this. By the way, we have Joe Murray in studio this morning. And there's all sorts of things that they've been trying to iron out. It now sounds like, you know, some teams play more games than the others. The way that's going to affect it is that they're going to do winning percentage, which is a big deal for some of the teams at the bottom of the Western Conference. I think like Portland has a chance of getting in. And I think that there's something weird where you might have a situation that Brooklyn may be able to fight back if they're in the ninth seed because they've played more games. It's weird. It's all this crazy math and crap. It's Jeff Passan type math stuff that I can't really crack. But they've got a plan, man. And on top of that, it sounds like the one thing out of all this, everything I've heard is good news. Everything's been great news. They seem to be doing it right. They seem to be doing it responsibly. So if you're worried about that part of it, that's how they're keeping the players happy when it comes to keeping
them safe. Yeah, the commissioner is working with the players and the owners to make this happen as quickly as possible. He's all over, you know, safety protocols and making sure that, you know, the one place where they want to take the season is, you know, it's as safe as possible, and then he's going to get as many games in as he can, you know, to make sure that the season gets done. It's nice when people work together to accomplish things.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm the one thing I will say about the NBA versus baseball, which baseball is just as bad of a situation right now as you can imagine. Both sides have said this is where we're drawing the line, and neither one wants to budge. And as I was saying, this article I read this weekend, after just math after math after math, it was one of the most boring articles I've ever read, but for some reason I stuck with it. I guess that's a testament to Jeff Passan and how he writes. But he broke it down that the one thing that what they're actually squabbling over, both sides, is the equivalent of $10 million per team. That's what $10 million per team is what is keeping baseball from happening right now. And he put it best. He goes, that's the price of a fourth starter in a rotation. And that's the thing that's keeping you guys from getting on the field while everybody, there's all this unemployment and unrest. And as you said, John, they have a risk of losing fans forever, because we've talked about this. You're a diehard fan. You're going to be with baseball no matter what, but even this is pissing you off. I'm somebody that I like baseball only because it makes the city feel alive. Like when the Red Sox are playing, summer's more fun, spring is more fun, and especially when the playoffs, it's just a better place to live. When the Red Sox are winning, it's the whole vibe down by Fenway, it's a great time. And the baseball itself during the playoffs is fine. To be honest, I don't care about baseball until the NBA and the NHL playoffs are over. The beginning of the season doesn't mean anything to me. I think there's too many games. So that's why this whole 50 games almost seems kind of perfect if they come back and do it. But you're going to lose people like are even bigger fans than me. You know, yeah. like you're going to lose those type of people because they're just sick of the squabbling. And now that I've seen it broken down where it's just that amount of money, you know, $10 million per team, which is nothing when you put it in the perspective of what a salary of these players make, and you're still squabbling over it, what are you doing?
The other part of it is, Rich, and you're right, just about everything you just said. I think the owners are sitting back in their big chairs behind their big desks and saying, you know what, we've attempted to kill this game many times before, and the fans always come back. And now is unprecedented. We're in uncharted territory. You know, the economy is not the best. Unemployment is somewhere between 13% and 15%, and depending upon what media outlet you look at, it's even higher than that, closer to 20%. And fans and just people are having trouble finding money. And if you're, say, the Red Sox, who will charge you $40 a seat for the bleachers and $30 to park your car and hundreds of dollars for souvenirs, and God forbid you should actually have more than one game, and that's on top of the gas that you spend to drive in, especially if you're driving in from New Hampshire, Vermont, or Maine, or Rhode Island, and you're stuck in traffic. It's 2 hours each way to go home. I don't know if you get the fans back this time, especially because your sport has become unrelatable thanks to the things that are keeping you off the field.
Yeah.
Just the money aspect of it has distanced you from your fans, even more than normal. Every other time, baseball fans, myself included, I'm as guilty as anyone else, has gone back and said, you know what? You've almost destroyed the game in 94. I still want to watch. And the Red Sox made the playoffs the next year, and everything was forgotten. There have been so many times where they've gotten right to the edge and pulled themselves back and had a season. This time, if they do not have a season over money, and, you know, you can always point the finger at protocols. Well, the Players Association say, we didn't like the protocols the owners were putting forth. That's a bunch of crap. Nothing is foolproof. You either agree to them or you don't. If it's the money, and I understand why the players are upset. They agreed to something in March, and now it's different. But the world is different. You take a small percentage of something, or you take 100% of nothing. And the owner's actually out there basically saying, screw you guys, we can afford to lose $4 billion. We'll pick up where we left off in March. Just pisses me off.
I will say this while you play that. One of the sticking points right now is extended playoffs. And the owners,
they have to do that to recoup some of their losses.
So right now the players don't want it.
But the owners do, because that's the only way they're going to bring in any money this season.
So at this point, the players get their prorated salaries. But I think the players might have to take the extended playoffs. And why not? To get it done, 50 games, extended playoffs, get it done. That's the holdup at this point.
They can't. They can't get out of their own way. Players and owners have done this for generations. Why would they change things now? Rich just plays this when he likes to hear me in particular do this. And then he plays that behind me, thinking it's going to send me into the orbit. And you're almost close, damn it.
I feel bad for him.
I can't stand it.
I just wanted to, Dan Roach just needs a hug, man. I mean, sometimes it's
no, but Dan is sense. Dan will never lose his positivity. I would like to hear Dan pissed about this.
What's going on in my house? And I'm just the same way. Like, I turn to my wife, I'm like, I'm just gonna die. Yeah. You know what I mean? When the kids are out of the house, what
don't
do
bring
do?
It down. That
honest to God.
Let's take a break before we all shed a tear.
I would like to hear that Dan Roach talk about baseball. I mean, we're right at the edge here. I mean, we got to get Danny on soon, especially if they really choose to stab themselves in the heart and kill things this year. I want Dan on, because if anyone has a reason to be upset, there is no bigger backer of baseball than Dan Roach, and he keeps a positive attitude. Jared Carabas, who's just as equal a proponent of baseball, he gets pissed. He gets angry about things. Dan never gets angry about things. There might be a reason for Dan to get angry if we continue this path.
Yeah, he is not a happy camper. Not a happy camper. But nor should you be, because everyone's looking like an a-hole now. Like, both sides are awful. And I'm glad that Passan did his stupid, nerdy experiment, but it worked. And when you broke it down to it only being $10 million per team, really that being the line in the sand, then what are we even doing here? All right, 617-779-0985. No commercials, just Joe Murray with his headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.